Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Thursday, day after Christmas. Hope you all had a great holiday. If you were celebrating, if you weren't celebrating, hope you had a good restful Wednesday. Packers back out on the practice field this afternoon. Matt LaFleur met with the assembled media shortly thereafter, and then the media infiltrated the locker room. We've heard from the coach. We've heard from the players. Now we want to hear from you fine folks, Packers fans worldwide, because that's what we do here at Cheesehead TV. Obviously, a few different developments coming out of practice. Javon Bullard back on the practice field, albeit in a limited capacity. Guess there might be a chance he goes on Sunday. I'll still be surprised if he's back out there. We'll see how the rest of this week progresses. But again, I'd be surprised if he's already back Sunday after what looked like a pretty serious injury back there in Detroit. Of course, the daily question regarding Jair Alexander definitely brought forth some unpleasant news in the fact that while being listed as a full participant yesterday during their approximation, today when the Packers were actually on the practice field, he was a limited participant. And then after practice, LaFleur was asked if he expected him to progress throughout the week, be available, any chance that he might go on Sunday. And Matt LaFleur responded with, probably not. At this point, I think it's all about just hoping he's ready for the playoffs. I've pretty much given up any hope that he's going to be back during the regular season. I suspect the Packers are hoping he is ready to go once they hit the playoffs. But at this point, anything you get out of Jair Alexander is probably gravy. So we'll see how it progresses tomorrow, into the game day, into next week, etc. But at this point, Jair Alexander seems like a non-starter. The fact that he was a full participant all last week and then was limited today, who knows? Matt doesn't really give us much as far as whether he suffered a setback or what the issue primarily might be. So, you know, just chalking that up to, okay, we're not going to count on him until maybe playoff time. And even then, it's probably a 50-50 proposition. In the meantime, you'll probably see a lot more Eric Stokes and Carrington Valentine on the perimeter and Keyshawn Nixon in the slot. And you got to think Zane Anderson will probably get the call there at safety if Bullard's unable to go. And I will say that's not a terrible thing. Anderson had a very good game that first kind of start and kind of real action, so to speak, from a starting role anyway. We've seen him in reserve a few times this season. But he played well. He acquitted himself very well. Now, obviously, the Vikings offense, especially in their place, is a whole other animal. And he's going to have a lot of things thrown at him and that he's going to have to rise to the occasion. But I will tell you what, given what we've seen so far from Zane Anderson this season, I won't be surprised if he does rise to said occasion. So still a little ways to go till we get to that point where he's definitely starting. But I think it's trending that way. It certainly would appear to be. Hello to everybody in the comments section. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody. Let me give a quick shout out to our good friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com and use code CHTV. Spend $5 on lineups and get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is available in 43 different states, most importantly, including Wisconsin. I cannot believe somebody put the Chicago Bears back on prime time. That is happening tonight. So give me Caleb Williams to throw a pick. Cole Kmet certainly will get at least three receptions because Caleb's going to be running for his life. Tyler Lockett certainly sees more than three targets. Zach Charbonnet, going to go ham on that Bears defense. Give me more than 70 yards. Make sure you use the link in the description of this video. Use code CHTV. Get in on Prize Picks right before the end of the NFL season through the playoffs. Going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you send me your lineups. And like I said, use code CHTV. What's going on, folks? A bunch of people chiming in the comments section. What's going on? Ryan starting us off with a super chat. Does the NFC North play the AFC West next season? They do not, Ryan. The North plays the NFC East and the AFC North. The Packers will get one game against an AFC West opponent, but that won't be determined until the year is over and the final records are tabulated. But no, the North will be playing the NFC East and AFC North. So something to look out for. And in the next season, probably some pretty tough matchups there. Heebs, what an idea. Can we let Hafley or Matt LaFleur select our first pick next year and let Goody select the rest of the draft? No. You know, I understand people's misgivings about Brian Gutekunst and his first round selections, but, you know, the idea that coaches would be a lot better or would automatically make a better call is kind of hilarious. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of coaches throughout the history of the NFL who all thought they could do the job of pro personnel or personnel in general. And lots of times when given the opportunity, completely flamed out. It's a very specific skill set. Just because you are a coach doesn't mean you're automatically going to be a great personnel or talent evaluator. Again, I understand people's kind of disappointment at times with some of the first round selections, but Brian Gutekunst is pretty damn good at his job. We'll keep letting him use those first round selections. What else we got here, folks? Get ready for our first round pick to be a cornerback in the upcoming draft. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, right? Certainly going to be a position that's addressed in the offseason, most likely through the draft, but maybe even during free agency, though I doubt it. But I certainly think there'll be a addition or two to the room. New York Cheesehead, very sensible, very sensible. I hate the Vikings. You know what? So do I. This is why we gather here. We have common interests. I, too, hate the Vikings. Christopher, thanks for the super chat, man. If you were coach, and you guys should thank your lucky stars I'm not, how would you handle the next 2 weeks since you already locked into the 5-7 seed? Hard to balance rest versus rust versus a backdoor home game. I don't worry about any of that. I play to win. I understand the idea of not wanting to burn your guys out or risk injury or what have you, but I also think you are playing with fire when you start thinking that way. I understand the idea that if they get locked into something prior to kickoff in week 18, then you can have that conversation. But until then, you play to win, you play your guys. I mean, kind of like we saw against the Saints, right? I mean, they played their frontline starters until, midway through the third quarter, when the game was well in hand and they started subbing guys in and out. But yeah, man, I don't know. I've just seen it too many times where teams who have stuff wrapped up, they rest guys in the last week of the season, and then they try to kind of turn it back on for the playoffs. And sometimes it happens, but lots of times it doesn't. I just think there's a value in continuing to play in the rhythm of the season and the week after week of, especially on offense, getting into a rhythm, especially for a team like the Packers, who have yet to really find that rhythm in the passing game. So, yeah, man, I'm playing to win. I'm playing my guys. That's just me. I'm crazy. What else we got here, folks? Simitovich, what's going on, man? Thoughts on Netflix yesterday? Look good. Yeah, the last part's adorable. It looked phenomenal. I will say it's great to have clean presentation. I thought all the talent assembled, kind of a grab bag of different broadcast networks, talent, people, kind of all in one spot was interesting. I did think it looked great. I liked the graphics. I thought, obviously, it's built on the kind of the backbone. CBS Sports helps produce it, and I think that was very apparent in how professional it looked and felt. But I also thought, just the whole presentation, everything about it looked really good and felt like really kind of not too detached from the game. Like, my worry is when new kind of broadcast partners come on board, they're going to try and make their kind of stamp. And I think Amazon kind of fell into that trap. And what I liked about Netflix is, yes, there were some bells and whistles, so to speak, but for the most part, they let the game be the game, right? And people commented on it, and there were certainly some augmented graphics and things like that. But overall, I thought it was really well done. No doubt about it. Funko, no. Is Evan Williams good to go? No, he is not. He most likely won't play this week. I know Matt LaFleur indicated earlier this week that the hope is he'll be ready by the playoffs. But I'll be surprised if he's going to be out there on Sunday in Minneapolis. M, what's up? What's up, Maximilian? When Williams and Alexander first got hurt, it really seemed to impact the performance of the secondary as a whole. Reasons for recent improvement? I think they've kind of streamlined some of the responsibilities and what they've asked guys to do. I think some of what you're talking about happened in game, which is always tough to kind of maneuver around when guys haven't been practicing that whole week in a spot. I do think they've asked guys, okay, you're going to be doing X, Y, Z throughout the week. They're not asking them to do much outside of that on game day. But also I think guys are improving. Like you get a guy like Zane Anderson out there. I think, you know, the jump he's made from last year when he couldn't get active essentially to this year, where not only is he active, but he's contributing on teams and now contributing from scrimmage. You've seen the development there. And I don't doubt for a moment that, you know, being able to get through a week with guys all in the same position and knowing, okay, these are the calls we're going to run and these are going to be your assignments and making sure they stick with that has, you know, helped a lot. But also, even this past week, Evan Williams went down in practice, right? I mean, so that was something at the end of the week. So that is something they had to juggle a little bit. But for the most part, I think they've done a good job of letting guys kind of lean into specific roles as opposed to, and we've seen and heard a lot about, oh, all the versatility. They're so versatile. Well, sometimes that can trap you, right? In the way that you think, oh, I can plug a guy in anywhere and ask him to do anything, even during the game. That's not always going to be the case, right? Richard, this is interesting. I understand Matt LaFleur. Is it time to give Adam Stanovich his flowers? I know when things go wrong on offense, people like to dogpile on him sometimes. It's funny you say that, Richard, because last year, towards the end of the season, or actually I think it was the offseason, I kind of mentioned this. Like, people love to pile on Stanovich when things are going poorly. But then all of a sudden, when the offense is clicking and things are working, no one talks about Stanovich. So I agree with you. And I had someone like attack me on Twitter about this, about like, whoa, this is so random. Why would you do this? Well, because for exactly what you're talking about, Richard, like if people are going to get, you know, all over assistant coaches who we really have no clue what they're being tasked with week to week, as far as emphasis and what they're in charge of or whatever. But if you are going to go after a guy because of poor performance on his side of the ball, at least give him his flowers when things are going well, you know? And look, yes, the passing game is still a little out of sync at times, but for the most part, this is an offense that's playing at an insanely high level, and it ain't just Matt LaFleur. To your point, yes, Matt deserves credit, no question about it, but there are a lot of guys on that staff, including Adam Stanovich, who should, you know, get in the conversation a little bit more. I very much agree there. Rick, what's up, man? This is something we've talked about a lot over the course of the last couple of weeks. Imagine a 13-4 team could play a third-place schedule. It's exciting. It's tantalizing. It doesn't mean much, though. You know, ultimately, you got to win those games. And, you know, each and every year you see teams that you think are going to be, you know, a piece of cake. They're going to be no problem. We're going to dog walk them. And then all of a sudden they're tough. They're way tougher than you expect them to be. I agree with the premise of it, but it doesn't mean a whole lot. You know, strength of schedule, all that. It's just outside of the first couple weeks, you don't really know. You know, and what teams are in September is so very rarely what they are late November, early December. Aaron Harper, thanks for the super chat, man. Nixon has been a dog the last few weeks. I agree, Aaron. I think he's playing at a very high level. Andy and I talked about this on Let's Talk Football this past Tuesday. The one kind of caveat there for all the kind of praise we've been given the defense, and obviously coming off a shutout, it's hard not to throw praise their way, but it's not like they've been facing a murderer's row of quarterbacks and offenses. I understand that, but they are NFL teams with NFL talent, and you are seeing Nixon really step up. I think Sunday, that's a big test, and this is a type of game where, and Matt talked about it on Tuesday, this is the type of environment and the type of test you're going to face in the playoffs. On the road, most likely, you know, you're going to have to go into hostile environments against really good offenses, and you're going to have to play at the highest level. And I do think Nixon has been playing extremely well. But Sunday is a different test, and I'm excited to see how he rises to the occasion. GPP Day, what's up, Rob? Heading to La Crosse to visit family. Such a fun place. Have you ever been? A long time ago, Rob. Probably when I was in, I want to say, just out of high school. It's been quite a while, though. But yes, I have very fond memories of La Crosse. Ian, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. What's up, Nags? I know it's concerning with 23 out again. However, it would be great to know if the anticipation is he'll be healthy by the playoffs. Has anyone asked that? As always, go Pack Go. And thanks, Cheesehead TV. Ian, I don't think anyone's asked that directly, but I do know that Matt has been as tight-lipped and as evasive as possible when answering anything regarding Jair. So I don't know what the expectation is. As I said at the top of the stream, I'm going to be pleasantly surprised if we see him ready for the playoffs. At this point, I'm kind of going to be pleasantly surprised if we see him play again this year. I hit that point today. I mean, when you're a full participant all last week and now you're limited, and Matt's already saying you're probably not going to play on Sunday, the hell is going on, man? What's up? You know, like, they look, they've got all the medical information. They know way more than we do. All I can say is Matt says he's probably not going to play on Sunday. But I can also see the practice reports where he was full participation all last week. And now suddenly today he's limited. But no mention of a setback. I don't know. They got the info. We don't. Right now, like I said, if he's out there for the playoffs, I'll be happy. Mike Witt, how are you, man? Hey, Nags, have you heard anything about 23 playing this week? As much as we're going to need him Sunday, we'll need him more in the playoffs. Mike, just talking about it. Matt already said, most likely not going to play. He hasn't ruled him out. Because God forbid, you know, we have concrete information. No. Most likely, he won't play. That's where we're at. Christopher, how are you, man? Agreed. I would still play starters next 2 weeks with more rotations than we're used to. Maybe less touches for eight. Need him fresh in the playoffs. Christopher, I'm very much with you there. I also think Jacobs is probably the one guy that I'd lean on making sure he gets a limited number of touches and or, especially against the Bears. I don't know that it's necessary to really kind of ride him the way they usually do, like 20 touches. I think that's a game where, all right, get him, you know, three or four and then probably sit him. You know, I just don't think it's worth it. But he's probably the one exception in that regard. Ed, what's up, man? You mentioned that announcer jinxes aren't real. Agree, but choosing the right game day t-shirt has been proven to be absolutely real. Man, I remember I used to live and die by that shit. Like, the socks had to be right. Like, I had to wear the right outfit and the same stuff had to be worn that with that time they won, etc. I have to admit, I feel very liberated not really believing in any of that anymore and just trying to enjoy the games for what they are. But that was a fun time in life, I will admit. But now I've grown older, some might say more cynical and bitter, but none of that means nothing. John Simitovich, what's up, man? More likely to play the rest of the season, Lloyd or Jair? Ooh, Simitovich. I'm going to say Marshawn Lloyd. Let's get him off that NFI and get him, you know, back on the practice field, and let's see what he's got. I'm just going to say that. That's good. Isaiah, yes, you are correct. Jair did disclose that he had a PCL tear, if I'm not mistaken. Puka Nacua dealt with the same thing, but was back by then. I'm not quite sure what you mean by then in this context, but yes, same stuff Nacua was dealing with. Obviously, a PCL tear is significant. It's a problematic injury, no doubt about it. Of course, if they thought it was going to be lingering and or long-term, they would have placed him on IR, but they didn't, which would tell you that they thought at some point there was a real possibility that he would be healed up and ready to go. Maybe they reached that point last week, and now suddenly there's been a setback. But again, we don't know. They haven't said anything. What else we got here, folks? That's good. Oh, Richard, that's nice. Hey, Aaron, remember when we signed Zane Anderson this offseason for his Super Bowl winning experience? Just kidding. But actually, though, I think it was two offseasons ago. But yes, they did sign him from the Chiefs. So clearly it was about the Super Bowl pedigree and that special team's zest. Mike, yes, there will be Packer transplants this week. It'll be tomorrow night. Corey and I will be back tomorrow at 5 Eastern, 4 Central to obviously put a bow on the Saints game, but look ahead mostly to the Vikings game on Sunday. Go through the blogosphere, all the stuff you've come to know and love when it comes to Packer transplants. We'll be back tomorrow. No questions about it. This is a decent question, Joe. I like it. With the Vikings a very possible playoff opponent, do you think Matt LaFleur and Hafley hold certain plays back for a potential playoff game? Yes and no. I don't think there's anything they'll be saying, we absolutely can't use this. You know, I do think they'll look at concepts that they think work well against the opponent, and I do think they'll, you know, have their playbooks open, obviously wide open, and utilize whatever they need to win the game. But I don't doubt for a moment there are certain concepts or plays where it's not specific to the Vikings, but that they don't want to utilize until the playoffs come around. Things maybe they've been saving to work against tendencies, maybe catch someone unawares. Again, not just the Vikings, but anybody. I mean, everybody's got access to the tape, right? So I kind of is the answer. I don't think it's Viking specific, but there will be things that they utilize in the playoffs that maybe they've been working on or try, they think might work really well against certain looks or certain schemes, etc., that they'll hold off on. That is probably likely. Ian, thanks again, man. So happy 9 is okay. He's going to be needed in our playoff run. Love this team heading into the playoffs. So do I, man. And yes, Watson, as they said earlier this week, avoided a significant injury. He's dealing with a bruise of that knee. He was not at practice. He did not participate at practice today. But LaFleur did say that, you know, he wouldn't need to practice all week. He's played enough where they would feel comfortable if he didn't touch the practice field throughout the week, and then Sunday comes along and he feels good and he's ready to go, they would act, you know, have no problem throwing him out there. So we'll see. We'll see. I would love to see him against the Vikings, who, remember, Watson wasn't up the last time they played Minnesota. So it'd be nice to see him get out there. No doubt about it. All right, everybody. I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Care of the G Club members, Patreon members, don't forget, we have happy hour at the top of the hour, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. The information is on your respective pages. In the meantime, everybody, please, please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.